With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this fourth Sunday in Lent, our hymns are 526, 605, 613, 629, and 443. Pastor Paul Mell's sermon is entitled "The Patent Father" and is taken from Luke 15, verse 28. Welcome, and our Lord bless our worship this morning.
Well, welcome to the fourth Sunday in Lent here at Sweet Springs, and we'll be following the order of service with Holy Communion as it is printed. We'll begin with our hymn, opening hymn 526. Please rise as we make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your holy, one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity,
and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions,
and my sin is ever before me.
Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity,
and my sin is ever before me.
Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Our Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent is taken from Isaiah chapter 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who, through Christ, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for our next hymn, 605. There will be no children's message after that, so don't get upset. It's just the way it is. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The continuation of our text today follows last Sunday's gospel lesson. Today we speak about the older brother. The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. There's a lot of phrases we come up with that sort of talk about a catch-22, out of the frying pan into the fire. When did you stop beating your mother? Between a rock and a hard place. Sometimes there are no good choices. Which is kind of where we are at this morning. If we were trying to choose which son we identify with most. Which son are you? If you were here last week, you recall we talked about the younger son, the one who went off to a faraway country to sow his wild oats, spend his inheritance on wild living, only to end up in some pigsty of a gutter somewhere before coming to his senses and heading back home. This is certainly what any sin does to all of us in some respect. The younger son is a microcosm of all of our lives of confession and absolution. But today we want to look at that older brother, with this also may be you, because this son had been part of the church all his life, maybe like most of you. Baptized as infants, you've been surrounded by God's grace all your life. In fact, it was done on purpose. Your church, your parents, your sponsors promised to do this. And so you learned to say your prayers. There was church and Sunday school, confirmation classes. You got to acolyte. Very exciting. Maybe you sung in the choir, and then maybe you became board of trustees or board of elders. And throughout all those years of devotion and prayers and lessons, you have always been, as it were, in your father's house. Now what? This is an interesting parable because it doesn't really have an end. It just sort of leaves everything hanging. Because there are a lot of people here and even more angels in heaven sitting on the edge of their seat waiting to see what happens next with every single one of you. This is why you see it's all about all of us. We all ought to be interested in what goes on between this oldest son and his father. The second part of this parable begins where it says, "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, so he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' Then it says, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. And so even though the father comes out to him to plead with him to come back in and change his mind, the older son says, 'Look, all of these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed any of your orders, yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with who knows what comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.'" Now, if you recall the beginning of the series of parables, Jesus is responding really to some of the Pharisees who were grumbling and sniffing at Jesus' association with the down and out sinners. So in this parable, he not only talks about those sinners, those people who have really made a mess of their lives and yet who are enabled to come back for forgiveness, but Jesus also needs now to deal with the attitude of the Pharisees, of the church people, those never left the Father's house church people who never lived dangerously, never got dirty hands, as it were, but were then tempted to think more highly of themselves than they ought. And so the older brother gets angry. He doesn't like the fact that the father and all of heaven rejoice over that rascal of a son who came back home. The older brother cannot understand why the whole house would be turned upside down just because this irresponsible scamp of a brother came back home, poor as a church mouse and badly compromised, when obviously there was nothing else for him to do. His pockets were empty. He looks terribly starved. Sin is no longer fun anymore, is it? And the best thing in that case to do is to go back home and lead a respectable life now after having trashed your life. That's what it looks like, you see, from the outside, when you haven't experienced the joy of forgiveness for yourself. Not the joy of sinning, mind you. The joy and realization of forgiveness. The older boy either takes the gifts of his father for granted or imagined that he never really needed forgiveness in the first place. And so he finds no excitement over the son, this younger boy who came back home. He finds it even unjust. He asks his father, "Why? What have you ever done for me? How come you never let me celebrate with my friends?" And what does the father say? He says, "Son, you're always with me. All that is mine is yours." What a statement Jesus is making to the Pharisees. And what do we think of when we think of Pharisees? We usually talk about them as the most disgusting people on the face of the earth, especially at Jesus' time. To call someone a Pharisee is an insult. But far from being angry with the Pharisees' lifestyle, Jesus actually compliments it. After all, it is something when a person faithfully worships God, reads His Word on a regular basis, prays, faithfully follows the commandments. It's not a bad thing. But there is another problem. And that is that the older son does not have any joy in doing it. He's in the presence of his father every day, but it means nothing to him. This is seen in his questions. "What have you ever done for me? How come I never had a little kid to celebrate with my friends?" Notice he doesn't say celebrate with my father, but with his like-minded friends. How odd. One would think that if a person were privileged to be so close to the Father that this would be in itself fulfillment, then a person would really be living. There would be purpose and meaning and direction in life. There would be a peace of mind, guaranteed future. But apparently there is a kind of piety, a kind of obedience that is mildewed, so to speak. The difference in our text is that the father loves and pleads with his son, but the son is not on the same page. God talks about this in Revelation. In John's book of Revelation, he accuses the church at Ephesus of losing their first love. They became bored with the kingdom of God. Imagine that. Forgiveness becomes something taken for granted. And when that happens, forgiveness becomes falsified. Then you began to think of this loving God who is really somebody who will never really be angry with you, someone who surely doesn't take things too terribly seriously. Then the wonder of forgiveness becomes a bore. And doesn't boredom with the means of grace put us in the same boat as the self-righteous Pharisees who saw no need for forgiveness? Someone has mentioned to me lately that maybe it wouldn't be a bad thing to have some major crisis strike the world, or at least our country, or at least our area, so that bored Christians would have something to get back on their knees about. But it's not like we don't have enough to think about in our own lives with our own failures and need for God's grace. If folks can't see the need for God's grace in every one of our lives, how is it going to happen that these same people are going to worry about the world around them? In fact, what we see the older brother do is disassociate himself from his younger brother. His young brother is a disaster. He does not say, "My dear brother is back again." Instead, "This son of yours has come home." In this way, we see that really the older son is disassociating himself with his heavenly father. The father, whose heart is so thrilled to have his wayward son come home, cannot share his joy with his older son because the older son won't let him. "All that I have is yours," the father tells the oldest son. "Do you want it? And if not, where does that leave us?" Forgiveness and peace with God is taken away when we can no longer rejoice when God rejoices, and immediately our hearts beat out of tune with our Heavenly Father. But even more happens. Pretty soon we also begin to doubt our Father in all kinds of other things. The older son asks himself in all seriousness, "Why is it that my Father is acting so strangely?" And how many other things do we doubt when we are at odds with God? When our reason and our arrogance cannot understand what God is doing? How can God allow such terrible things as wars and disease and kids shooting kids? And when we quarrel and question God, even in the middle of our church going and Bible reading, then we are still feeding on the food of swine. Then we become slaves to our doubts. The older brother is in danger of being worse off than the younger brother. But it doesn't necessarily need to be that way. And so the parable ends. And maybe it's frustrating to have a terrible conclusion, which is no conclusion at all. But you see, it's all about us. And all of us, every single one of you, is different. But our lives are not over. Some are in one boat and some in another, both in need of Father's love and forgiveness. But the jury is still out, because you're still here. In the years ahead of you, will you become slaves to your passions or to your boredom? To your doubts or to your self-righteousness? Or will you remain free in your Father's house, excited about the love of the Father's heart? Not just the love He has for you, but the love He has also for your fellow brother in Christ. Then, if that's possible, you can get up every day and look around for those to whom you can apply that love. Then our daily and weekly worship won't become dull and boring, but our worship becomes the means by which we can, as Thielicke says, gulp down the deep breaths of the air of eternity. What a terrible thing to call oneself a Christian and yet be a stranger and a grumbling servant in the Father's house. What a glorious thing to become aware every day that God is waiting for us. And that when the last chapter of your life is written and you go back home from that faraway country, your Father will be waiting for you on the steps of the eternal home and lead you to the place where you may speak with Jesus forever and ever, and where you shall be surrounded by that joy which here you have only begun to taste. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus until that life everlasting. Amen. We rise for prayer. Today in our prayers, we would like to add several funerals which have happened this past week. Michelle Neiman passed away on March 26th in Kansas City. Mike Reed and Debbie Reinitz, all of whom we pray for their family and friends. O Lord God, by the death of your servants, you have shown that your thoughts are not our thoughts and your ways not our ways. We thank you for the blessings of body and soul that you bestowed on these children of yours who are now departed. Comfort the members of their family who mourn their deaths, and assist them ever to prepare for your final summons, so that when we depart and be with Christ in the blessedness and glory, we may rejoice with all the faithful. Lord, in your mercy. We pray also for those who are ill and sick or who otherwise on our hearts and minds, for Carol Brandt and Randy and Stanley and Nolan and Mary and Lindsay, Brooklyn, Alan and Cindy, Cameron and Jason, Mike and Eva, Brandy and Jeff, Marion and Diane, Gail, Retta, Alicia, Holly, Kelly, Mark, Terry, Paul, David, Rhonda, Jessica, Mary Lou, Brooke, Everett, Kimberly, Nicole, Elliot, and Diane. Most merciful God, in this earthly life we endure sufferings, even death, before we enter into eternal glory. Grant us grace at all times to subject ourselves to your holy will and to continue steadfast in the true faith to the end of our lives, that we may know the peace and joy of the blessed hope of the resurrection of the dead and the glory of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Ever-present Lord, you have promised never to leave us nor forsake us, but to abide with us to the end of time. Grant that those who live alone may not be lonely, but find both comfort from your promises and fulfillment in loving you and their neighbors all the days of their lives. Grant your blessings to those who dwell in nursing homes and maybe at home, that a place of healthful solace and pleasant fellowship among the people that you send to them to lift up their souls may do so in joy. Lord, in your mercy. These and whatsoever things we ask in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated as we now gather our tithes and offerings. Please rise as we begin with the liturgy for the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift up your hands to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love, shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh, and laid on him our sin, giving him into death, that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death, and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain. Yet in mercy you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary You spared not your only Son, but sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us, like Abraham our father, to trust in your promises now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Congregation, will please rise as we continue with the Nunc Dimittis. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us in the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated as we conclude with our final hymn, 443.